Welcome to the Goals Podcast, the business case for women's sports, where we explore every corner of the women's sports industry from the field to the front office. I'm Caroline Fitzgerald, and I'm here to prove that it's good business to be in the business of women's sports. Today's episode is brought to you by Ally, a changemaker in women's sports steadfast in their commitment to the fight for media equity. Our guests today are Amanda Vandervoort, the president of the Gamebridge Super League, and Mike Nichols, the chief of sponsorship strategy and activation at Group 1001, parent company to Gamebridge. Welcome to the show, Amanda and Mike.
Thanks, Caroline. It's great to be here.
Thanks, Caroline. Looking forward to it.
Well, I am so excited to have both of you come back on the show. It is just an honor to have you here. Both of you had done separate episodes in the past, and now we're bringing it together because we have the newly minted Gamebridge Super League. It is so special. We are on the heels of an incredible year one for the USL Super League. And one big change as we're going into year two is that it is now called the Gamebridge Super League, as Mike and the team at Gamebridge have signed a multi-year partnership, which includes naming rights. So we have a very exciting year ahead for the Gamebridge Super League. So there's a lot to get into today, and we're going to touch on all of it. But Amanda, I'd love to start with you if we can, and start with a basic download of the league for anybody who might not be familiar with the property at this point.
Yeah, great. Thanks, Caroline. So we launched the Super League last year in August of 2024. We had eight teams to launch the league and had an incredible first season. So we ended June 14th, just a couple months ago now, and sliding right into season two as the Gamebridge Super League coming up this August. So, the league had a tremendous first season, but where we are now couldn't be more exciting to be partnering with Gamebridge and launching the Super League, the Gamebridge Super League, August 23rd.
It's incredible. And the first time we spoke, Amanda, it was right before the launch of season one. And there was just so much excitement across the U.S. for this league to join the women's soccer ecosystem in the U.S. And you did. You had an incredible year one, and you're now getting into year two. So, Amanda, I'm going to stick with you for a second. How did season one go? What are some highlights or proud moments for you coming off a great year one?
Yeah, season one was it was amazing. I think for me, some of the highlights, certainly the opening weekend. It was so cool to be. We kicked off in Charlotte, North Carolina, with our club Carolina Ascent, sold out stadium. The match ball came down in a, you know, from a helicopter with a parachuter, and it was all the fanfare you could imagine in front of 10,000 people there in Charlotte. And it was so special for me. What a moment to launch a professional women's soccer league in the middle of this movement and this growth and this industry really exploding. So that was really special. Of course, giving then, you know, come full circle when we announced the Players Shield winner, which is the winner of the regular season. Of course, I was back in Charlotte to present them that trophy, in the second half of the season. And that was really special to the final trophy lift here in Tampa Bay when the Tampa Bay Sun won that, again, in front of a sold out stadium. So the energy, the excitement of the first season, I think the parity across all of our teams, the level of competition was fantastic. And really the reception of our fans and, you know, to Mike here, the sponsorship, the investment that we're now seeing come as a result of a tremendous first season is really special.
It is. And you hit so many incredible milestones in year one. And Mike, I want to shift it over to you because obviously you and your team were paying attention and you were checking in on what was going on with the league at the time. So I have to ask, what sparked your interest in getting involved in sponsoring and becoming the Gamebridge Super League?
Well, I would say that the first thing was that, kudos to Amanda as well as the leadership of the eight teams and everyone there at the league. It certainly, when we started taking a look at it, didn't feel like an inaugural season by any means. So when you look at what she was talking about in terms of like sellouts across the sort of the opening nights. And then I think the biggest thing for us that really legitimized it was the fact that they already had an established TV relationship with Peacock, right? You know, and that to see something like that from the brand side and not sort of, oh, we're, you know, in a couple of years, we're hoping to get to here and get to here. And so wasn't sort of a lot of hopes and wishes. It was like, this is actually happening. I can actually go on Peacock and sort of do my own research on this league just by watching watching these games. So I think there was an incredible sense of legitimacy. You know, it's like an inaugural year that felt like a league that had been around for, you know, a half a dozen years. And so that for us made it very interesting. And I think the fact that we could be a part of the growth story, you know, we had, I think we started having the conversations during the first half of their inaugural year. So even though we're not signing on till the second year, we were already starting to ideate and think, okay, if we come on, what can we do to help grow this property even more than Amanda and the teams had done before we attached our name to it.
That makes a lot of sense. And I go back to the first conversation that we had, Amanda, and you talking about how this league was going to be built with best in class professional standards, both on and off the field, when it comes to the sporting side of things and the business side of things. And, you know, that's important to sponsors and teams like Gamebridge to see that and be able to come in. And you made it really easy for people to see the possibilities when it came to sponsorship and sponsoring the league. So, Mike, I do want to stick with you because I mentioned this at the top, but this really is one of the biggest stories, in my opinion, when it comes to women's sports in this last year. It's your multi-year naming rights deal with the league to become the Gamebridge Super League. So this is the first naming rights league deal in U.S. pro soccer, and that's men's and women's. And it's just an incredible step forward when it comes to the commercial power and the commercial opportunity within women's sports. So can you talk to us a little bit more about the partnership and what all it will entail for the coming years?
You know, as you mentioned, as the naming rights partner, that in and of itself, if there was no other elements of it, just for it to be called the Gamebridge Super League, to go on to Peacock and see the Gamebridge Super League bug, if it was nothing more than that, it would still be an incredible branding opportunity. But really, for us, what's interesting is the opportunity to get down into the then eight, now nine communities with more to come. Because I think the biggest thing in sports sponsorship and where the expectation of a lot of fans are is that they want to see, you know, these brands that are sort of meeting them where they are. So where you could look and say, hey, here's the various communities that we're in. Yes, most people will look at this and say, hey, here's the sort of the nine markets that it's playing in, and we're sort of we're interacting with the professionals at that league. Well, a lot of these teams have very established academy systems where you have, you know, in some cases close to 20,000 young athletes. I mean, it's just crazy, you know, 20,000 young athletes, boys and girls, who are playing in the academy systems of these teams already, based on the way that the USL sort of runs their system and tries to bring people up from the grassroots all the way up and have them be, you know, I think it's something like, Amanda, 40% of the players who played on the Gamebridge Super League this year were products of the academy system that was already in place. So for us, it's not just the professional story. It's really being able to go down into those communities and be seen as supporting the professional team by all of these parents and young kids who ultimately are spending their hard-earned dollars not only to attend the games, but to support their kids playing soccer at this level. So, you know, that's kind of one of the things that will probably be the untold story as people look at this. But from us, from a brand standpoint, having that grassroots component in addition to the team and league was very important.
It's huge. And Amanda, I don't know if there's anything you might want to add on to that as far as the work that you're doing together in this season and beyond.
Mike's hit it so many topics on the head, right? Like the fans, I think, are so core to our partnership and really delivering an experience in each of our communities that the fans, you know, feel a part of. We want the fans to feel part of the Gamebridge Super League and each of our clubs in each of their communities to really reflect, you know, the things that are important to those people. And certainly the growing movement of women's sports is something that fans are attracted to. And we see the numbers, you know, skyrocketing now. And I think we're in a very fortunate position to be launching, well, have launched the Super League, but now the Gamebridge Super League, you know, in the midst of that. And I do think Mike raises a good point about the pathway, youth to pro pathway. And you know, it's not just the opportunities, although it is a tremendous amount of opportunities for players and front office and coaches and staff in each of our communities. But there's a pathway model in the USL that does go from youth to pro. And there is it's actually a very clear pathway for players to become pros. And I think, you know, it's been difficult for players to navigate the soccer space for many, many years. And one of the things that we are trying to accomplish is player development and ensuring that there is a clear, the highest opportunity that they can. And we now provide that at all levels, youth, you know, our academy system, our W League, and of course, the Gamebridge Super League.
I think that's the thing that I am most excited about with this sponsorship and this partnership, because it is both top down with the naming rights, but also bottom up with ensuring that this impact is being felt at the grassroots community through the academies, through the local level. So it's really special how you've set it up. And Amanda, I'd like to stick with you if we can, because sponsorships like these are huge for the growth of women's soccer and the growth of your league in particular. So why is this work with Gamebridge so significant when it comes to growing women's soccer and growing your league?
The basis of it to me is a signal to the rest of the sponsorship community, right? That this is a good investment and this is a business that's a good investment. There's a return on your investment of dollars at the end, right? And working with Gamebridge to ensure that we're delivering on that promise to our fans and to, you know, to their future audience too, that we're in front of. So I think that's a big piece of the significance. I also think that it's important that the fans in each of our communities know we're a long-term sustainable league and that these clubs are building in their communities for them and for the opportunities that soccer can present, right? This is about soccer, but it's about so much more than soccer. And Gamebridge leaning in to the Super League and to the Gamebridge Super League and really this women's sports movement showcases that, like, we're here today, but we're here to stay.
It really is such a big deal. Mike, you and your team are leading when it comes to how you're investing in women's sports, not just in women's soccer and women's sports across the board. Your team dedicates over 40% of your sponsorship dollars to women's sports, which is, again, very significant. And you're in a leadership position here, signaling to the rest of the business community that women's sports is worth investing in and that it's big business. So can you talk about why, as a company, you have decided to go into women's sports in such a significant way?
Well, I think a lot of it starts with the vision of our CEO, Dan Towers, who, you know, I sort of call it the Midwest values, where it's, you know, put sort of don't watch what I say, watch what I do. So, you know, otherwise known as sort of putting your money where your mouth is. And so when you look at our employee base and more than, you know, half of our employees are women, or you look at our, you know, customer base and more than half of them are women, and you know, at the same time, and then you want to say, oh, here's what we believe in, whatever, more and more, I think customers, prospective employees, current employees are looking at companies and saying, well, what are you, let me see what you're actually doing in this space to see if you're doing, oh, we believe in women's leadership and here's, we're doing this, but to be able to make these investments. And hopefully when, you know, prospective customers at the end of the day look and they say, hey, this is a company that shares my values. So, like, to your point of the ROI, like, it's nice to do this to elevate women's sports, but we have to make a business case for it at the end of the day. And, you know, we, as you referenced, we have, you know, title sponsorship of an LPGA tournament, title sponsorship of the Billie Jean King Cup, international women's tennis. We've got a relationship with the Fever, Caitlin Clark, Annika Sorenstam. So we're definitely invested in women's sports, but we wouldn't continue to do it if it didn't make good business sense. And so, you know, Amanda alluded to it a little bit, but, you know, hopefully us being a player in the women's sports space, coming to the Gamebridge Super League, obviously we're taking the marquee position, but our hope is that we've sort of signaled to the rest of the marketplace, hey, this is a legitimate league where if you invest, come along for the ride, there's a lot of opportunity here. And so, in an indirect way, we're hoping that maybe we were helping to raise the profile of the league with some of the ideas that we have in mind. And if that brings in more investment, that's fantastic.
Absolutely. And we say it all the time on this podcast. One of the special things about women's sports is when you invest, you're not only doing what is right, you're doing something that's profitable. So there's a return on the investment, both when it comes to doing social good and then economic good as well. So it's a classic win-win. We love it. And Amanda, I want to shift it over to you because when we talked the first time, as I alluded to earlier, we talked a lot about building out the infrastructure of this league and making this such a professionalized property and really a new standard for women's soccer in the U.S. and even the world. And in some very exciting recent news, the league has announced the building of a dedicated women's soccer stadium in Tampa Bay, which will be the home of the Tampa Bay Sun in the Gainbridge Super League in the coming year. So can you share more about this project and what the new facility means for women's soccer?
Well, I think that's the zoom out, right? Like what is the future of women's soccer and what do facilities and having a home mean for the women, for the women's league, for the Gainbridge Super League, but all women's professional sports to be able to achieve, you know, at the elite levels and really drive and professionalize the sport itself. So, yeah, I mean, listen, the Tampa Bay Sun have an incredible, bold vision for the future of their home here in Tampa Bay, which is where our league office is. So that's why I say here. But and we're very, very proud of that. We also have a Lexington. They've built a stadium there for their men's and women's teams. In Spokane, we have a stadium that we've built alongside the city there for their USL teams. And so for us, the investment in infrastructure across the league is something we're thinking of from the very beginning, from day one. But as we add teams and as we look towards the future of the league and expansion, which growth and expansion is something that we think and talk a lot about, it's not just about the numbers, it's about getting it right and making sure that the infrastructure and facilities facilitate the best possible environment for everybody involved.
Absolutely. And, you know, you have accomplished so much in year one, and now you're headed in to year two in such a position of strength. You have this partner in Gainbridge. You have all the success that you achieved in year one. What are you looking to accomplish in year two? Are there any big milestones that you hope to achieve?
Well, we're excited about Sporting Jacks coming into the league, which is our expansion team for the 25-26 season. Which takes us from 8 to 9. And as Mike said earlier, we look forward to future expansion markets to come. For this year, for me, it's really about fan growth. It's really about how do we understand what fans are looking for in each of our markets and really delivering on that in those communities. So how do we build a club that fans want to be a part of, that they feel reflects their values and their city? So how do we make sure that the competitive balance that I talked about in season one, where each of the clubs, any one of our clubs could have won the league last year. Like the games were that tight consistently throughout the season. So how do we ensure that competitive balance remains this year and that any team again has a chance to win the league? And it's been really cool to see the offseason player movement in the offseason, investments that our clubs are making as we steer into the Gainbridge Super League season. And I'm really excited to see how all those elements come to life on and off the field.
Absolutely. Mike, I want to shift it over to you and zoom out just a little bit. You're a leader both in the business world and in the sports business world. So what is something that you're seeing on the business side of women's sports that you're pretty excited about going into season two of this league and something that keeps Gainbridge really bullish on the business opportunity of women's sports?
Sure. Well, actually, Amanda alluded to it a little bit, you know, when she was talking about these stadiums that are being built to house the teams in the Super League. And I think the story there is that in order for that to happen, the municipalities have to come behind it, right? Like that's a big undertaking to get municipalities and city leaders, and which means there's a groundswell of support for women's sports from those communities, if those communities are coming with, you know, tax rebates and dollars and whatever to help build these stadiums, that's something that's traditionally been reserved for, you know, the major men's stick and ball sports, right? Like the NFL always wants a new stadium. Everybody always wants a new stadium. And here's these communities that are saying, hey, we're going to invest in a women's sports stadium. So when I look at what we're doing, like, to me, that's more of a signal, frankly, than, you know, it's very, you know, the Super League came to us and made a very smart sort of business case to do it. And we don't have a lot of, you know, levels to go through to make it happen. But when you can get a stadium project through all of that political malarkey, I guess is the best word I can think of as a guy from New Jersey that will work on this podcast. I think that's probably one of the coolest things. And then these additional things, like here in Indianapolis, the Fever building a specific, you know, training facility just for the Fever, not a shared venue with the Pacers. So I think a lot of that, I think sponsors are waking up, but when you sort of start seeing that the larger communities are starting to wake up to the opportunity, I think that's really cool. And I think that's ultimately what's sustained. That's what will make it sustainable, is when the whole, you know, sort of the groundswell of support, and it's not just sort of a top-down thing like we were talking about at the academies, right? It's sort of coming from, not only from the academies, but now you're looking at communities that are coming together and saying, hey, let's invest in these women's sports properties, you know, and I think there's a lot of pride too. I think what you're going to find with these Super League teams is they build stadiums, they're going to want to be the best because they're going to be competing for players. And so it's not just sort of lip service. Like, it's a, what are we doing to attract the best players to these teams? So I think that's one of the things that excites me the most.
Absolutely. There's so many reasons, and I'm with you. That groundswell of support, it just seems like everybody's talking about women's sports these days. Like, it's one of the coolest things to be involved with, both from a business perspective and to be a fan of. So it doesn't seem like it's slowing down anytime soon. That's also a really good spot for us to take a quick break, and then we're going to come back and close out our conversation with our rapid fire closing questions. So stick with us, everybody. We'll be right back. As you may know, the goal of this podcast is to show brands, networks, and people in general that it's good business to invest in women's sports. Our sponsor, Ally, shares this belief and knows firsthand the power of investing in women's sports. That's why, along with being sponsors of the National Women's Soccer League, the Atlantic Coast Conference, and the United States Golf Association, they were the first brand to commit to equal media spend in women's and men's sports, because they believe brands have the power to solve media disparity and positively affect the financial trajectory of people's lives. So jump in and be part of the change. To learn more about Ally, go to ally.com. All right, we are back, and I can't believe this conversation has flown by so quickly. Amanda, Mike, it's been such a joy speaking with both of you again on the show. We have our final questions. You both are familiar with these. Mike, I'm going to throw this first one to you. If you could wave a magic wand and create gender equity in one aspect of sports right now, what would it be?
I think it would, for me, it's always been the promotional opportunities for the sports. And so I think, you know, to just say, hey, they're both have the same amount of viewership. I think the thing that's lacking, frankly, is if I watch ESPN, let's just say I watch one of the ESPN morning shows in the morning, and on the crawl, they're saying, here's the Major League Baseball game of the week, here's the whatever. And so I see that and go, oh, the Yankees are going to be on tonight, I need to sort of watch that game. And so I think that that, to me, is the really a big missing element of it. Again, one of the things that's cool about the Peacock, when you go to Peacock, you'll see that you go to click on sports, and right there is the bug for the Gamebridge Super League. Or it says, now here's the live game that's happening right now. And in sports, and maybe it's only the Gamebridge Super League at that point in your Peacock carousel. So I think the promotion in the television space would be game changer. So if that was the same, all of the other stuff would fix itself, in my opinion.
I love that answer. Completely agree with that. Amanda, this next one is for you. Is there anything else you'd like to share today, or anything else that you'd like to plug to our listeners?
Oh, I mean, I think it's great if all your listeners know that the Gamebridge Super League kicks off August 23rd. We'll be in four of our markets. We've got eight teams playing on that day. And of course, we're activating with Gamebridge at Sporting Jacks in Jacksonville, Florida. And we absolutely cannot wait.
Get ready, everybody. Season 2 is coming. The Gamebridge Super League is almost here. It's going to be an incredible year. And we'll make sure we link so everybody can get tickets and watch on Peacock and get information about the league, all the above. All right, last question. We always close with this question on the podcast. Mike, I'm going to send this to you first. Can you summarize in a few sentences why you think it's good business to invest in women's sports?
Sure. So for me, it's a right now in the marketplace, it's a good news, bad news. I think there's so much opportunity and there's so much value, right? Like, so hopefully we get to a point where there isn't so much value in women's sports because so many brands are there and are it's invested to the point that brands are driving up the price of the women's sports sponsorship, which I think is happening, right? That's certainly, we're in the process of seeing that. But I think, you know, what really attracted us to this opportunity was then it's, you know, coming off the inaugural year of the Super League, here's something with a lot of white space, and we can be a partner in building the opportunity as opposed to going to a fully established league or something where it's like, here's what you can do, here's what you can't. And so, you know, there's a lot of opportunity in this spot to say, hey, we're truly partners in this. You know, the success of this partnership for Gamebridge is going to be a function of how successful the league is, how successful the 9 teams are. So when we have the calls with each of the teams and say, hey, we're in this together, I think it's truly a genuine partnership, probably the most overused word, partnership. But really, it's certainly for us, the success of the league is going to be in lockstep with Gamebridge and how successful we are in elevating the league and in turn the teams and the league are in elevating the Gamebridge brand.
Absolutely. It does really feel like a true partnership here. Amanda, anything you might want to add on to what Mike said around why it's good business to invest in women's sports?
You know, consumers, fans of women's sports are loyal customers. They will, you know, the data shows retention rates, engagement rates, and sponsors and partners who get on board build that trust alongside the brands themselves. So to Mike's point about this growth opportunity, like not only do you have a chance to like jump on board this rocket ship of women's sports, but you have a chance to help steer it. And together we can steer it to the moon.
Well, isn't that the perfect place to drop the microphone today? Amanda, Mike, you're amazing. Thank you both for everything that you're doing for women's sports. I cannot wait to tune into the Gamebridge Super League this season, and I'm excited to see everything that you accomplish together in the future. Thank you again for coming on the show.
Thank you for having us. This is great.
Thanks, Caroline.
Thank you for listening to the Goals Podcast, the business case for women's sports presented by Ally, a changemaker in women's sports steadfast in their commitment to the fight for media equity. To learn more about Goals and our work to grow women's sports, be sure to follow us across social media or visit our website at goals-sports.com. And remember, it's simply good business to be in the business of women's sports.